Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this Cabinet on the 14th of February 2019. So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So let's start with item one, which is apologies. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Mercer and also Councillor Smidovich. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Under item eight, I have a non-pecuniary interest as a trustee of a property fund. I'm not a beneficiary in any way. That's actually already on my disclosure records on the council. There are also, just for the benefit under item 7, light bulb service, there are four members of cabinet who are also county council members, which are Deborah Taylor, Tom Barclay, James Poland and myself. Again, it's a non-pecuniary interest. Item three, are there any others that anyone wishes to declare, by the way? No? Okay, thank you. Item three under leaders' announcements. I wasn't going to make any announcements this evening, but owing to the lovely chocolates that somebody has mysteriously left on our tables on this February the 14th, thank you very much to whoever that mystery individual is. Very, very kind. We'll all put on a couple of pounds eating the chocolates with pleasure. And also being Valentine's Day evening, I'd also like to make another announcement, which is actually congratulations to Councillor Vardy on his engagement. I thought there's nothing better than actually making a public announcement that will actually be in the minutes forevermore. Probably the first time that a cabinet member's engagement has actually been minuted. But on this instance, our warm congratulations to you and Julia. And we wish you all the best for the future and all the happiness as well. Congratulations. I have no other announcement. So, item four, minutes of the previous meeting. That meeting was on the 17th of January 2019. First off, can I ask whether there are any changes to those minutes that anyone wishes to make? Nope. And in which case, can I see those in favour of approving those minutes? Thank you very much. I've passed a signed copy of those minutes to Laura for a record. So, item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. We have had no questions submitted. So now we're on to the main part of the meeting, which is item six, which is the Budget Scrutiny Panel. So welcome to Councillor Mir, who's chair of the Scrutiny Management Board and also was chair of the Budget Scrutiny Panel. If you would like to come to the table, Councillor Mir. What I'm going to do now is ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the item. I'm then going to ask Adrian Ward, who's our head of strategic support, to present the report. And then after that, Councillor Muir, if you'd like to present the panel's report and also those recommendations as per the agenda on page 10. So first off, if I can ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the report.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to thank the Budget Scrutiny Panel for the work they did on this report. So they met four times. The first meeting, they focused on the outturn report from the previous financial year. The second meeting, they focused on the medium-term financial strategy. And on the third meeting, the draft General Fund and HARA budgets, and the last meeting they focused on what recommendations they were going to make. They went into quite a level of detail on the various reports, asked various questions. I think we value the output they get there. It's always nice to know that someone else has had a look at it. But a worthwhile exercise, and please pass my thanks to the Budget Scrutiny Panel for the work they've done. So I will now hand over to Adrian as Head of Strategic Report to add his comments.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. Just procedurally, this is a report from the Budget Scrutiny Panel. The detail of the panel's meetings and their discussions and findings are set out in the annex to the report. There is a recommendation that arose out of their work that's presented to you this evening with the officer responses to the budget panel's recommendation for you to consider and make a decision on.
Thank you very much. Councillor Muir, if you'd like to present the panel's report.
Cheers, thank you very much. I want to thank Councillor Barclay for his kind words for the budget scrutiny panel. I just want to echo those as well, and I want to thank all the officers that supported us in the meetings that we had this year. It's been another year where we've had a look at the budget for Charnwood, and unfortunately it's another austerity budget that we're facing. And now more so ever than the reduction in council funding. And we note that in the budget that the revenue support grant that provided by central government is going to come to an end at the end of this budget period. The panel has noted the use of reserves as well, and although accepting that the lead member's argument that the reserves have been built up over the past and are there to be spent, the panel would like for it to be noted that it does not believe this is sustainable over the longer term, and Cabinet should be looking at to set a budget that doesn't call on reserves on an ongoing basis. It knows the successful outcome of the wider Leicestershire bid to retain 75% of business rates, and it welcomes the firm amount once negotiated and settled with other districts, cities and counties, because I believe we still don't know what the final figure we will have yet. We'd like to thank Cabinet members who have attended the meeting, and it was very, very welcome to be able to question them and ask for the reasoning behind of some of the decisions, but also some of the officers as well. We'd like to Cabinet to further consider income enhancing schemes brought before the council. We'd like to bring them so that we can look at ways that we can replenish our expenditure. And different ways of doing that without raising council tax further or dipping into reserves further. We also note the continued uncertainty around fairer funding in Leicestershire and the danger this poses to Charnwood Borough Council, especially in regards to new homes bonus, and that any change in any way is probably going to be detrimental to Charnwood because the split at the moment 80% to 20% in our favour. If that is redetermined, it will mean that we possibly potentially lose out, and that is highlighted in the budget as a major risk. And that's all I'd like to say. Happy to take any questions. Thank you. Cheers.
There we go. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask for clarity from Councillor Muir on the report that you've just given? No, fantastic. In that case, Councillor Muir, thank you very much. And again, I'd like to echo Councillor Barclay's comments on the work that the budget scrutiny panels carried out. I'm now going to ask Simon Jackson, who's Strategic Director of Corporate Services, to present officer advice and recommendation on the SMBs. Or the scrutiny panel's report.
Thank you, Leader. I think there was quite a lot of extensive discussion throughout the panel meetings. I think one of the things that was discussed at some length, which Councillor Muir has alluded to, is some of the risks and challenges facing the council going forward. The budget scrutiny panel were keen to stress some of these issues and did suggest something specific that should be included in the medium-term financial strategy going forward around our approach for further savings or income generation. I think, to be fair, a lot of that has already historically been included in the medium-term financial strategy, but as an officer, certainly happy to follow that recommendation and indeed would endorse it as something that needs to be explicitly addressed in the medium-term financial strategy next year. So nothing else to add, but I would support the budget scrutiny panel's recommendation in this respect. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Simon on that point? No. In that case, I open up for general discussion. If there are any points anyone wishes to ask, No, in which case the panel recommendation seems to be understood. So at this point, I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to summarise and also make any proposals.
As I say, I think the recommendation is a statement be included in the next MPFS regarding Council's approach to the need for future savings and or income generation and the use of reserves. And as the Strategic Director of Corporate Services has said, actually within the last MPFS, there was a table that showed that, but I think it's a valid point as an ongoing item. The only other point I'd say is that whereas we've lost £165,000 worth of revenue support grants, which we were due to receive this year, because we were successful in the 75% business rate retention, but that is included within that. But this will be the last year that we'll receive that. So I would like to propose that we make the recommendation exactly as I've said. And if I could have a second, Leader.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to second the recommendation.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we now move on to item 7, which is the light bulb service update, which also has an OSG report. So if I can invite Councillor Capleton to the table. And Councillor Harper-Davis, you've agreed to introduce this item on behalf of Councillor Mercer. So if I can ask you to invite Councillor Capleton to present the OSG report, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. Do you want me to give the introduction first? Yeah. So in October 2017, the Lightbulb service began integrating practical housing support into a single service across Leicestershire. Lightbulb created an integrated customer-focused pathway across the country, across the county, using a new housing support coordinator role and the locally developed housing MOT checklist to identify a range of non-complex housing support needs to deliver and coordinate solutions, as well as reducing the complexity and the handoffs associated with the current system. Housing support coordinators work with customers and carers to identify their own needs and preferred solutions, supporting the shift towards a lower intervention and preventable approach, which is ultimately more person-centred. The service delivers a single access point into a range of practical housing support solutions, a common holistic needs assessment process, a broader targeted offer of practical housing advice, information and support, including self-help solutions, an improvement in the disabled facilities grant process and delivery times. Alison subsequently will present the update for you all. I'd like to introduce Councillor Caperton with his OSG report, please.
Thank you very much. Good evening, all. Yes, the light bulb service model is coming to the end of its 15-month trial period, which was previously approved by Cabinet, and Cabinet is now asked to approve the continuation of the project as follows. The recommendation one is that Cabinet note the implementation review and performance of the Lightbulb project. The group noted the achievements of the scheme and the volume of the cases being handled. The direct costs of the scheme to CB Charnwood Borough Council are hardly significant, as the service is funded through the Disability Facilities Grant. The big savings that will be achieved through the scheme are indirect and the benefits to the health and care economy overall. This is through the provision of equipment and home modifications to allow people to stay in their own homes, to release hospital beds by allowing people to be discharged. The adaptations are also intended to prevent mishaps in the home, such as injuries through falls. We examined the caseload attributable to Charnwood and found there had been a backlog of 172 cases when Charnwood joined the scheme. This has been reduced to 125, with the expectation of being further reduced to 100 by the end of March 2019. This represents a reduction of 72 backlog cases in 15 months. Around 17 new cases are received each week, and the aim is to reduce the waiting period further to around 50, which will give us a wait of approximately 3 weeks. This represents much improved service to the residents. The group also explored the costs of the scheme, notably the recent increase of 11% in the cost when the authority pay rates were reported to be minimal. It was explained that the awards to local authority staff on the lower grades contained an equalisation element that exceeded the average reported in the press. Also, there was an element of regrading of staff and an increase in management costs from the hub. The costs also allowed to forecast demands through 2019 and 20. It is recommended that these costs be kept under review. This appears to be covered in Recommendation 4, which specifies a further report brought to Cabinet if there are significant increases in costs. Recommendation 2 was that the Cabinet agree to participate in the Lightbulb service model for a further period of 3 years, the possible 2 years extension. The group felt that the scheme was a benefit to the residents of Charnwood and was improvement on the previous arrangement. Therefore, the scheme should be endorsed by Cabinet. Recommendation 3 was that the Cabinet approve costing option 1 at a cost of £123,000 as payable from the Disability Facilities Grant. The cost option 2 would be very similar to 1, but it will also include the cost of an office manager for administration at the hub. The Charnwood rejected this option. Recommendation 4, if there are any significant changes to costs or to government funding during the agreement period, Charnwood's participation in the scheme will be reviewed and brought back to Cabinet. This is in case there are any changes in government policy regarding disability facilities grants and the necessity of Charnwood having to find the funds. It must be noted, however, that if Charnwood were to withdraw from the Lightbulb scheme, we would have to provide an in-house solution. So the overview scrutiny group therefore agreed to recommend to Cabinet the 4 recommendations to be accepted. Thank you very much.
Can I ask whether any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Capleton on his OSG report later on? Thank you very much in that case, John. So at this point, can I ask Alison Simmons, who's our head of strategic and private sector housing, to the table to present the report? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think that there's not a lot I can add with the 2 introductions I've had, but I'll just go through how the report's laid out and what aspects we've covered. As had been indicated, in May 2017, Cabinet approved for us to go forward with the Lightbulb service model, and at that point as well, it was asked that we do our own internal review, as well as the review that the Lightbulb team would be doing to provide us with a further business case. So as part of the report, you have Appendix 1, which is the Lightbulb team's business case, which sets out the options for Cabinet to consider. And Appendix 2 is the internal review of the actual Lightbulb project and how it's been taken forward. We did start later than everybody else, and that was due to a delay in signing of legal agreements, and we did take on a caseload of 172 cases awaiting assessment. This is down now to 125 with people. The latest people on the list are from December, so we've significantly reduced the waiting time, but we still need to get down that further to 50, so we're looking at the 2 to 3 target. The other aspect of it as well was the disabled facilities grants, which the council has a statutory duty to deliver, and we have reduced the time in turning those down round from 26 weeks to 18 weeks. So there's been a significant improvement because of the work the housing support coordinators are doing in relation to the minor adaptations. So the remainder of the report lists the options and the options for Cabinet to consider, and then the costs, and obviously the agreement for a 3-year period with a possible extension for 2 years.
Thank you very much, Alison. I was just about to say push the button, but you've already done it. Well done. Thank you. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask Alison? I'll start with one, and then Councillor Vardy can follow on. Can you just set out what you think the main benefits are of being part of Lightbulb for our residents? And also the flip side of that, which is actually what you found as being part of it, because obviously we're now sort of tied in to all of the districts across the county, were there any downsides from actually being part of that collaborative approach? So the upsides for residents, downsides maybe for us.
Okay. The upside for residents, one of the things I should have said as I was presenting, was in the appendix there are three case studies which provide a clear picture of what services the residents are getting. So the benefit to the residents is every contact counts. So they're only seeing one person and they're going through anything from adaptations to the benefits to if they've got a carer, making sure their carer's got the support they need. So it covers the full remit in relation to that aspect. The feedback we've received is extremely positive, with frequent calls to express the appreciation from parents and then obviously from their children, saying, you know, you've provided a wonderful service for our parents in ensuring that they remain independently. I suppose the benefits as a whole of the system are there's a closer working relationship with the county services that are being provided, because it's being provided through a housing support coordinator role, which is funded by Charnwood and the County Council, which is why it covers both roles. I suppose the downsides in some respects is maybe we are different in respect that we've got a locality team, but from my perspective, I think that's better for the residents of Charnwood. But other than that, it's, I suppose, going through the processes and learning from each other is a good side. But on the other hand, it can also be contradictory if our process is working and why should we change it to meet that? So there are some issues there, but we obviously put forward the good practice that we've got in place in relation to our DFGs, because there's only two local authorities that are hitting the target, one of which is Charnwood. So we might have a backlog with housing support coordinators' roles in relation to the assessments, but the other districts have got backlogs with their disabled facility grants. And you could argue from the perspective of residents, it's better to have their DFGs done because they've got the adaptations to help them to live independently.
Yes, thank you, Lita. Yeah, much of what you asked was in my thoughts too, and I just think that you know, sometimes I'll just go off a little bit. Sometimes, you know, we talk of this council's very prudent with its budgetary processes. We take care of the finances, and we do it very well. Actually, this is about caring for our residents as well. This is important that we do that. We do this, and we do it. It's a delivery that we provide. And it's obviously going in the right direction, with 95% of people saying that they welcome this single point of contact. So we're actually making really good strides in improving our delivery to residents, and I applaud that. I do really think we're going just, this is, yes, it's early days yet. I sense that with what you've said and what Leah said, that these things is moving forward and that we'll end up with an excellent first-class service, which our residents deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Vardy. Any other comments anyone wishes to ask? Can I ask a question between the different options within the report? There are obviously two options, which are park, which is option three and option four. And can I ask what's actually happening with those options? How do they actually end up in the report, and what's happening with those two?
It was decided through board discussions that options three and four would be kept outside of this because they are short term in relation to reducing the waiting lists for Charnwood for housing assessments, and it's also speeding up the process for the disabled facility grants for the other areas. So that's why it wasn't included in the paper, because this is looking at a business plan. Well, we're obviously looking for 3 to 3 years with the possibility of and 2-year extension, so therefore there's not a 5-year investment required, which is why it's not in the business case.
So in which case, as far as the other districts concerned, are they looking at 3 and 4 on a sort of local basis for their particular needs as well, or is this particularly just option 3 and 4 were just in this paper for us here in Charnwood?
I think initially when it was brought to the board, it was for all the districts and boroughs, because we've got our housing support coordinators, they've got their DFGs that they want to improve. But it was agreed by all around the table that we need to be looking at a shorter term investment into that. And there is a contingency budget from the transformation, £1 million that we originally got, that was part of the housing's offer to health, that is available to try and look at what we can do to speed up the process on both sides.
And in relation to, I mean, I appreciate your comments about obviously a lot of the districts sort of came together on in various ways historically for whatever reasons, and obviously Charnwood, because we're that much larger than all the other districts, had put together a team ourselves to actually do the work previously to Lightbulb with everyone coming together. Given the way that Lightbulb possibly will grow in the future, do you think there's any particular benefit about having multiple centres for controlling Lightbulb, or do you think actually the benefits of having just one single hub for the operation are sort of better in the long term?
I think that would be a question for the other districts and boroughs, whether they'd want to move away from the agreement they've already got with Blaby. The County Council have got the full agreement with Blaby, and then there's a sub-agreement between Blaby and ourselves, so it would be dependent on whether any of the other districts or boroughs would want to move away from that. That would be their choice. But before this went forward into the central hub, before it became Lightbulb, Northwest had already got Blaby doing their DFGs because they didn't have any staff. So it was moving in that direction as to who could help them with the service, and that was then the pilot that was taken forward. So it would be up to all the districts and boroughs. There would be benefit in relation to the fact that our DFG process is a good practice example, because we're leading the way in relation to getting to the target first, and yes, we could assist in that process. But again, I don't think that's a decision that I can make on behalf of the other districts and boroughs.
I mean, it's an interesting approach, because I mean, obviously, this is quite a significant piece of collaboration across the different districts. And it's quite interesting to actually see how possibly that might work in the future, but also possibly be a model for other pieces of collaboration going forward. So, just interested really on the basis of how that possibly might develop, and I appreciate that this has come together from a historical position on some districts coming together on particular projects historically, but Lightbulb as an approach across the whole of the district structure across Leicestershire, it's obviously, I think, probably the only piece of work that every single district actually collaborates or attempts to collaborate in one place. So just really sort of understanding how that could possibly be moving forward.
The refugee scheme is an example of, again, not only where we're doing it across the county, but we've got Rutland County Council involved, and I think there's other examples as well of what we do jointly.
Can you sort of talk through the differences between option one and option two? Because obviously I think my understanding between last year's figures and this year's figures, there's a slight readjustment as well on our figures, because our overall percentage cut has changed slightly from where the original budget was. And the additional admin support that exists under option two. So I've seen some reporting where some of our output figures are not included. And is that because those tables are generated by the admin support based in Blaby rather than actually anywhere else?
When we signed up in May 2017 for this, the performance management was being part of the central hub and was being provided by the two senior housing support coordinators. Now, their roles have changed since, and that doesn't come into that, which is why option two has got the office manager. So the performance has moved from there. But just to clarify, the two senior housing support coordinators, one is in charge of the housing support coordinators and one is in charge of technical officers. Well, at Charnwood, we manage our own technical officer, so we're not getting the benefit from that senior role in what we're already paying in relation to the central hub overhead, because those two are included in that. The office manager's on top, and that states that it will do performance monitoring, which we were already paying for. The second aspect of that was to manage the admin. Now, when we first went into the Lightbulb, management and admin costs were not part of the consideration for the Lightbulb. That was paid separately by Charnwood, and it still is, because that wasn't incorporated in there. The other districts and boroughs, as the part of their participation, have found they haven't had enough admin support. Well, we have, so we've continued to pay and to manage that ourselves, have asked Blaby to do that. So they're now providing their admin support, so that's why who the office manager is going to be managing. So they're going to be managing the admin for all the other districts and boroughs, but not for Charnwood, because we will still be doing that ourselves.
Okay. So why are we sort of missing sometimes on some of the outputs that are generated for the light bulb project on some of the sort of figures?
Initially, it was because we weren't part of it for the first part of the procedure, and we have provided figures, and they haven't always been in a timely manner, so we need to make sure we get to the point that they are in a timely manner. But are there figures that we provide in relation to the DFGs? All the housing support coordinators' figures run through the county system, so the light bulb team should be able to access those. We don't have control over those. The only ones where we could have been missed is where we haven't provided disabled facility grant figures, because we've got, that's the only ones they haven't got control over.
Are there any other questions that anyone wishes to ask Alison before we move on to general discussion? Okay. Thank you very much, Alison. That's great. Thank you. Any other points that anyone wishes to make? Can I ask, I appreciate all the comments that you've made, Alison. Can I ask that Cabinet consider actually option two as well as option one? Option two, I appreciate, is a little bit more money. It covers a slightly wider area, and I appreciate your comments about what it pays for and what it doesn't pay for. I think one of the points about this project is that it is. I appreciate that we are collaborating on other areas as well, but social care in particular, and certainly the DFGs and the benefits that they actually give to residents and how they move out, is a significant part, not only for us as districts, but also I think for NHS, for getting people out of hospitals, being able to actually supply homes that are fit for people to move into. It's an extraordinarily wide agenda, and I appreciate at the moment that for us it's something that is changing significantly, and we are in a position where, having joined Lightbulb in the past year and a half, I hope that it probably continues to change, and I think that would be for the benefit of the districts and benefit for our residents in particular. If we actually push for change within Lightbulb to actually maximise the benefits for residents. I suspect that probably to do that effectively, we need to actually be a full part of Lightbulb, even if that necessarily means duplicating some of the services in the short term that we actually offer. Because I think that there's more to do with Lightbulb than actually possibly where we are at the moment for the benefit of residents. So if I could ask Cabinet to actually consider option two, that would be beneficial as well. So with that, Alison, thank you very much. Can I ask, if there's no other points or any discussion points, can I ask Councillor Harper-Davis to summarise and move recommendations?
Thank you, Leader. So obviously the purpose of the report, as we've heard, is to present the update for the light bulb service model and seek further approval for the service to continue in Charnwood and to agree the recommendations 1 to 4, which are on page 54, with the amendment from option 1 on recommendation 3 to option 2, with the additional funding which goes from 123,158 to a total of 127,525. And then for the reasons below the recommendations. Thank you.
Councillor Vardy, can I ask you a second?
It's our pleasure in seconding those recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alison. So we now move on to item 8, which is the council tax amendments, the empty homes, premium and exemptions. So can I invite Kerry Barshaw, who's our head of customer experience, to the table. And can I ask Councillor Barclay to introduce this report? Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. This is the main drive behind this report, is to try and bring some of the approximately 500 empty homes in Charnwood back into use. You know, we have a housing shortage. We have about 153 houses in the borough which have been empty for more than 2 years. The proposals are that you pay an additional 100% if your property has been empty for 2 to 5 years, 200% from 5 to 10, and 300% for over 10 years. The effect on the overall budget at Charnwood will be minimal. It'll be about 23,000, but for the other precepting authorities, it'll be substantially more. It'll be about 334,000 in total. The other thing that's in within this report is the fact that we've done a consultation for 6 weeks, and we had 134 responses, which are outlined in the report itself. The other bit of the report is the care leavers policy, whereby we, together with the other seven district councils, are looking at assisting people coming out of care at the age of 18 and giving them 100% discount on their council tax up until the age of 25. And again, this is something, it's social responsibility, really. Every other council does it. We do assist them at the moment, but this is formalising it. I think the concerns that are expressed in the consultation is the level of time that people have don't have to pay council taxes down to 6 months for probate. There are various exemptions, but we will come to that in a moment. And I think I would ask Kerry to explain the more intricate bits on the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so just to give a little bit of background, in November 2016, we first introduced the empty homes premium, which allowed us to add an additional 50% onto the existing rate of council tax where properties have been emptied for 2 years or more. Since then, the government have amended that legislation and have now given us the option to increase that charge, give us additional powers to encourage the use of properties back into use. So as Councillor Barclay has mentioned, we now have some additional options where we can charge an extra 100% for 2 to 5 years. From 2020, they're allowing us to charge an additional 200%, and then from 2021, 300%, and therefore properties 5 to 10 years and 10 years plus retrospectively. We have got approximately 500 homes that are empty across Charnwood, and 153 at the time of writing the report were empty for more than 2 years. And so we do want to take any opportunity we can in order to bring those back into use to try and support the aims of the organisation. In addition, we've also considered whether where we have the exemption for properties that are uninhabitable because they need building work, etc., to be done with them. At the moment, people receive a 50% discount for, 100% discount for 6 months. No, 50% discount for 12 months, and we're estimating that we would reduce that back down so people would have 100% discount for 6 months, again, to encourage people to bring those properties back into use more quickly than they do at present. As we've said, there is a small financial gain for the authority that we have to balance off with any additional administration work that may be required, because some of these debts where properties have been empty for a long time may be difficult to overcome and to get those collections back in. The large proportion of that share will obviously go to our major preceptors, which I think will obviously be positively received in the sort of financial climate that we're in at the present. Because we've already got the process in place, it's not anticipated that it will be a significant resource issue in terms of administration, so we are still expecting to see an increase in our collection in response to that. As Councillor Barclay mentioned, we did do a six-week consultation, and we did directly write to all 500 empty homes that we had to ask to seek their views. And we did have, obviously, a response of just over 130, as we've mentioned. And in general, I think looking at those consultation comments, they were fairly positive in terms of the responses. So over 59% of respondents were supportive to the council increasing the empty homes premium to 100% after 2 years. And 57% believe that if it was introduced after actually just 1 year, that would encourage empty properties back into use. That's not an option at this stage, but it is being discussed. Nearly 49% of respondents were supportive of the introduction of the 200% premium for properties empty after 5 years, and 47% of people were supportive of the introduction of the 300% property after 10 years. So we did get a reasonable response. There was mixed, and there were a number of comments in relation to that, particularly around people having concerns about the planning process that may slow up the ability for people to renovate properties, etc. The fairness of the premium where a property is empty due to a death in the family, where somebody has got to go through probate, and the consideration where people that may be buying empty properties to bring them back into use, the regulations go on the fact that how long the property has been empty for, not how long the current owner has had it for. So there were some comments around that. So in summary, I would suggest that the reaction to the proposals was positive, and given the factors and the increase in revenue to the organisation, we'd make a recommendation for that to be considered, as well as I've mentioned, the bringing the premium for 100% for 6 months. In addition, we obviously looked at the care leavers policy, and this is something that's been discussed across all local authorities within Leicestershire, with other local authorities already bringing this in. So this is to bring us in line with everybody else. We know that as people leave care, it can be a very difficult time for them to have to start learning how to manage their lives, their finances, budgeting, etc. And it was seen that this was a positive step forward to support people moving out of care and into independent living, and reduce any risk they have of entering into debt at a very early stage of that for them. As you can see from the figures in the report, the overall cost is expected to be around £40,000, but Charm with Share would just be just short of £3,000, with, again, the other major preceptors supporting this and picking up the remaining charges. So all in all, it's seen that that would be a very positive thing for our young people within Charnwood to support what all the other Leicestershire authorities are doing by bringing that care leavers policy in. We did also complete an equality impact assessment, and it's not seen that there'd be any adverse risk from the equality impact assessment. And in terms of exemptions for people that are in the long-term empty properties, we do have three exemptions currently in place, which are for residents who are within the armed forces, where they're going to be away from their properties for a long period. They're exempt from that. Where there is a property such as an annex that makes up a single property, so if somebody has an annex and that's empty, that would be exempt as well. And also where a property is on the market for sale or for rent and it's genuinely on the market. So there are three current exemptions to those. Thank you.
Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Taylor and then Councillor.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions about the exemption, because I did go through all the verbatim comments that people have added to the consultation. There was a lot about what you've already mentioned, armed forces, you know, people away and empty properties that are on for sale or rent. There was quite a few mentioned about people that are in care homes or in respite or gone to stay with residents and things like that. Would their houses be classed as empty during that time if they're in some sort of respite or living with families for a period of time?
Yes, they are. Obviously, this doesn't apply until after 2 years, but after that point, yes, they would still come under this policy as it is at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Leader. Really, simple question. How do we define an empty home? I mean, if we get to the point where it's been empty for 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, and then we say, right, it's only 200%, 300%, and they say, fine, I'm living there. Do we do checks on that? Do we just sort of take their word for that? And to what point do they have to prove that they do, in fact, live at the address?
Yes, we do checks. So we obviously will check where they are registered as living. And we also have information that comes through from things like the National Fraud Service, where we can identify people living in other areas. But so we will look into if a property is empty or not. We will have visiting officers that can go out and check to see whether there's any signs, and we will look into a variety of different information that's accessible to us to try and identify whether that person is living there or not. If they then notify us that they have moved in, then we will put a flag on that account and make sure to do checks further on, sort of later on in the process, to make sure that property is being lifted.
Okay. Can I ask a question about the exemption related to properties that are actually being marketed for sale or rent. How do we actually monitor whether they are realistically being marketed for sale in particular? I mean, question on market price, whether it actually is a realistic market price or whether somebody's actually asking an unrealistic figure and hence it's persistently unsold.
There's a limited amount of work that we can do. What we can have a look at is current market values, properties that have been sold in that area and the values that they have. And if we had concern, then obviously we would have to look at that and raise that, first of all, with the owner. And then if there was concern that they weren't trying to market it, then we would take that back to have a look at decision, because the wording is genuinely. So if we could prove that it was being marketed way above value that there was no feedback in terms of what was happening with that property, then we could take steps in order to remove that exemption.
Okay. Any other questions that anyone wishes to ask? No. In that case, can I ask Councillor Barclay to... thank you very much, Kerry. Can I ask Councillor Barclay to summarise and move the recommendation?
So I'd like to make recommendations 1 on 2 page 118 of the pack for the reasons 1 to 2 on page 119 of the Cabinet pack.
And Councillor Taylor, can I ask you to second?
Thank you. I'd like to second that. Just a couple of points I'd just like to add. I think we need to take on board the issues with planning that was raised, that if people are trying to renovate, that we need to be sure that our planning department is working well to assist them. And I think it's also worth mentioning about the empty homes. Often there was a lot of comments within the consultation as well that we should be supporting people to renovate the houses, and we are doing that to get empty homes. So I think it's worth noting that people are aware that we do have an empty homes officer that is supporting landlords and residents to get their homes back into use. But I'm happy to second the recommendation.
Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Kerry, as well. Now move on to item 9, which is the General Fund and HRA Revenue Budgets 2019-20. So can I invite Tina Stankley, who's our Head of Finance and Property Services, to the table? And Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to introduce the report and then ask Tina to add any additional items?
So this is our budget starting the 1st of April 2019, going through to the 31st of March 2020. It's been subject to fairly extensive scrutiny by our budget scrutiny panel. There's a number of items which have been highlighted. The fact that we're using roughly £800,000 worth of reserves this year, and we're putting £200,000 towards the national non-domestic rate pool. The report itself says we're using reducing reserves by £1.6 million, but the revenue cost that we're using is £800,000. The rest is actually our contribution to capital. As I think Councillor Mir alluded to, we've been successful in obtaining selected to be one of the authorities that has 75% business rate retention. We're not quite sure at this outset how much that will actually mean for Charnwood, but what we do know is it's going to bring another £14 million into the county, which is good. The council tax is going up by £5. The Loughborough special rate is remaining the same. At the end of the time of this budget, we will still have £4 million worth of reserves. The medium-term financial strategy laid out a plan to show how we could reduce the amount of reserves we're using over the next 3 years. And it also covers the housing revenue account budget, which is in a strong position with about £7 million on the housing revenue account finance. And also we have retained, we've got enough to have £110 against every social housing property in the borough, which is excellent. The Section 151 officer has had a look at this and believes it is achievable. We are fortunate that we've built up reserves over the years, and we've done it for this very very reason. It would be unwise to say that we live in a certain world, because we don't know what the government's Fairer Funding Review will do. What I would say, I wouldn't deem this to be an austerity budget, because we're maintaining all services the council has done previously. We're living in within our means, and those uncertainties really are external about things which we have no real influence over. So I'm quite pleased the work that our Head of Financial Services has done, and we have to achieve savings this year without a doubt, and it's incumbent all lead members and all heads of services and directors to achieve that, and I'm confident we'll make every effort to do that. So I'll ask Tina, who is our Head of Financial Services and Property Services, to present the report.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for a comprehensive explanation of the report. I don't think I have really much else to add, other than to draw your attention in part B on page 141 of the committee papers pack, that there have been a few minor changes to the budget since the draft budget report. The net impact of these is only 25,000 on the actual bottom line, the budget requirement, compared to that one in the draft report that we submitted. As we said earlier on in the meeting, that the RSG of 165 is no longer going to be paid as a separate grant, but we haven't lost it. It is included within the NNDR payment that we'll be receiving for the year. We're now a pilot authority for 75% business rates retention, which is good news for the county as a whole. And as Councillor Barclay said, we're not yet sure what the final bottom line allocation will be for Charnwood, but we'll be in a no worse off position, however that ends up. On page 142, paragraph 10, just a point of clarity, Councillor Barclay said that we'll be using £800,000 of reserves. That's to fund the general fund, along with £600,000 use of the capital plan reserve. There is also, as well, another £173,000, which is to cover the collection fund deficit, bringing the total up to the 1.6. We've had consultation on the budget, and the comments are recorded on page 142 and 143. With the housing revenue account, I'd just like to draw your attention to the fact that on page 144, we note that there is a slight change from the draft budget. Due to the calculation of the rental income for the year in 1920, every seventh year we get a 53-week rental year, and it's how we deal with that as a council. We've taken some legal advice and spoken with various sort of accountancy bodies that have looked into this, and it was concluded that we should split the additional week's rent across 1920 and 2021, so that has meant that the surplus for the year was reduced by 280,000 compared with the draft budget amount that we had in that budget report to you. The appendices give details of the general fund budget, the council tax analysis, and the Loughborough special expenses budget proposed for the year, and also the parish precepts, and then the housing revenue account and the service pressures and savings that are included within the budget. Are there any questions?
Good question. Are there any questions? Councillor Vardy.
Is it there always, Leader? Certainly. Once again, I've explained in the past, I've just said, look, sometimes this, the detail of these budgets and finances are sometimes a little bit beyond me. I'm an accountant myself just to sort out my few pennies. So when it comes to something like this, the number of figures that we're talking about, it always amazes me the clarity that it's communicated in a way that often I almost nearly understand it all. But you know, it is you're doing absolutely a superb job. You're right, we're not in austerity. We've just been, as we have been for years now, a prudent, careful council and the way that we manage our finances, and I think that's important. And we've been blessed with, and we are blessed with, officers and lead member to carry this forward. I was pleased to see that despite the times that we're in, that we've actually put added value to Loughborough special rate. We're seeing that the Biggin Street toilets are going to be opened a little bit more, that the community grants are going to be funding available on an ongoing basis, and that we're going to have money available for open spaces. So Loughborough itself is an important centre for the borough, and I welcome this very sensible and prudent budget. Thank you.
Tina, can I ask one question about the Loughborough special rate? There's reference, obviously, to the support grant, I think it was £6,000 a year, that helps to sort of reduce the need or prevent the need to actually increase the special rate. How many years have we actually had it frozen at the moment? Because it has been the same pretty well for a long, long time, from memory.
The £74.97, I think it was increased to that in 2016-17, so it's this will be the fourth year.
And Councillor Barclay's point about the budget, I mean, obviously the MTFS has modelled our next 3 years and demonstrates a return to a balanced budget in year three. And as far as this budget is concerned, this is the first stage towards getting back towards that. So clearly, as far as the challenge that Councillor Barclay has sort of set out, there is a great deal of uncertainty about our funding agreements going forward. We know that hopefully we should have some sort of news at some point soon as to how those are going to be modelled. But again, the government has made it quite clear that there's going to be a sort of feathering effect to any changes. So do we actually know yet what that potential feathering will actually be, regardless of where the model ends up, the funding agreement model ends up? What sort of effect that feathering is going to have on our accounts as a worst case?
No, I don't think there have been any firm announcement on how it will work in practice. We shall have to wait and see, I think. There's a fairer funding review also coming out, which will again impact on the council's accounts, the budget available. They've not made any solid announcement as far as I'm aware.
Okay, so can I ask Councillor Barclay to summarise and make recommendations?
So thank you, Tina, for going through the report. I think it's certainly clear to me where we're going. I would like to make recommendations 1 to 14 on page 137 and 138, and for the reasons 1 to 14 on page 138 and 139 of the pack.
Councillor Capleton's coming to the table to present an OSG report. So can I ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the item and then invite Councillor Capleton to present his group's report?
Thank you, Leader. This is a statutory requirement that has come in recently, that we have a capital strategy, including the Treasury Management Strategy, going forward. It covers a lot of the things which you already have in place, but in essence it covers capital expenditure and its governance, capital financing and borrowing, the Treasury management, how we actually manage the investment of up to £63 million that we have held in our accounts, which we hold on trust on behalf of the Leicestershire County Council, Fire Authority and the police. It's very short-term money. It's not available for investment in commercial strategy or anything like that. The only money we have available of that is our reserves, which, as I've just alluded to, amount to £4 million at the end of the next financial year. It also covers the knowledge and the skills that we keep up to date, our staff have to ensure that we keep a close eye on everything, and also our commercial strategy for non-financial assets, which are anything but money really, including the commercial properties and prospecting housing developments. It also gives a number of prudential indicators where we invest the money. We use Link Asset Management Services to advise us, and we use these and monitor them, and a report is produced to Council 3 times a year showing where we're going and what we're doing and assuring us that the money is being looked after properly. We within this capital strategy, there is latitude for us to invest in property funds. We have done that already. We're trying to increase our income. There is talk of commercialisation of opportunities that we can take. And obviously we need to do that given the reduction in central government funding and the outlook going forward where the government would like us to be much more self-financing. I will now pass over to Councillor Capington, who we had an OSG meeting on Monday, and it was a very good meeting it was. I ask him to present his report.
Thank you very much. Yes, there's quite a lot in these reports, and the group spent a lot of time talking about the investments that the Council had. The group noted that the Council was very cautious when investing taxpayers' money. Risk has to be balanced against the reward, and the Council always tried to err on the side of caution when seeking good returns on the investment. Unfortunately, interest rates still remain low, so the Council has to seek other ways of investing their assets. The Council takes advice from professional financial advisers. The Council might have to further expand the range of investments to achieve decent returns, and will consider further training for certain officers so that we have more in-house skills in the area of investments. This might reduce the need for external professional advisers, but it won't completely replace them. The group commented on the Council's investment in property funds and noted the decline in the high street retail and the related value of retail property. We were assured that the Council was aware of the situation and, together with the professional advisers, were keeping the matter under a constant review. On the subject of the Council investing in commercial ventures like the proposed housing development country, some of the group are concerned that the Council could invest borrowed money in such a scheme and then use that asset on the books as security against a further loan. This would represent double borrowing. We were assured by the lead member and the strategic director that there were strict governance procedures and strict guidelines to dictate where and how funds could be spent. Also, the role of the S151 officer would address such a practice. Having examined the document and pursued various aspects with the relevant officers, the group considered that they should endorse the recommendations to Cabinet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Capleton. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Capleton? I think there are. In which case, Your Honour, thank you very much for your reports this evening, and thank you very much for your group as well. And please pass our wishes and thanks from Cabinet to them. Thank you. So, Tina, are you happy in that chair, or do you want to move back? You're happy. Good. In that case, Tina Stankley, who's our Head of Finance and Property Services, who's already at the table. Would you like to add anything else to what's already been said to today?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that the capital strategy is a new requirement and it's part of complying with our self-regulating system that we have in place for managing our treasury management prudently. It just explains, as Councillor Barclay has said, it just goes through, it joins up the capital expenditure side of what we're doing and the treasury management aspect of it. It's fairly comprehensive. It makes sure that we have in place all the measures and checks and parameters that will ensure that we make prudent investments and that we don't lend or invest with any sort of counterparty that where there may be some risk. We are looking at introducing, as part of the capital strategy, a commercial investment strategy, and we'll be bringing another report to Cabinet on this later on in the summer. And if approved, it will be incorporated as part of the capital strategy that we have in place. There is one other policy that we have brought in this year into the Treasury Management Strategy, and that is the minimum revenue provision policy. It's largely an accounting technical policy that we have to, whereby we have to set aside each year from revenue money to make sure that we are able to repay our debts, any borrowing that we have when it's due. It only applies to general fund borrowing, and as a council we don't have any at the moment, but if there were to be any borrowing in the year which may occur as a result of commercial investment, then we need to have the policy in place before we do actually do any borrowing. That's why that's been incorporated into the Treasury Management Strategy for this year. It's quite technical in terms of the content. There's the economic background provided by Link Asset Services, who are Treasury Management Advisors. I don't think there's really anything else to add to the report, but if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Taylor.
I'm not sure if it was in this report or a previous report, but there was talk about up-training members of staff for more financial training. Is that within this report, was it, that I read it?
If I could come back on that one. I think it's in the overview and scrutiny report where it says that there will be upskilling of staff. I'd like to comment on that in terms of every year it will be in the Treasury Management Strategy that training is undertaken by staff to ensure that they are up to date with any changes. Insofar as it goes, we are allowed to or participate in Link Asset Services provide workshops 2 or 3 times a year. The external auditors also provide workshops for us to attend on, like this year there's been a change in the financial instruments, which is again all very technical, but only this week I've been on a workshop for that, so I'm now up to speed on financial instruments for the closure of accounts. So we do keep our training up to date, staff members, but it goes as far as it does, but doesn't make us anywhere nearly as specialist or expert as the advisors that we use. And so, you know, that's why we definitely still need to have advisors, because they are experts in what is a very technical and complicated field.
Any other questions? No. In that case, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to summarise and make recommendations?
Yep. I think we had a very good discussion, overview and scrutiny on Monday. The need for training and the need for caution, the security, liquidity and capital certainty were certainly our key elements. But you don't increased reward comes with increased risk, and you can't avoid that. I would like to make recommendations 1 to 3 on page 154 for the reasons 1 to 3 on page 154.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Pullen to second?
Thank you, Leader. Very happy to second that.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tina, as well. So we now come to item 11, which is RIPA, So this is the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act policy and 2018 use. So, Councillor Poland, can I ask you to introduce this report, and then if you could pass over to Adrian Ward, who's our Head of Strategic Support, to present any other items.
Thank you, Leader. As members are no doubt aware, RIPA is the act which allows local authorities to investigate any potential illegal activity through covert means. It's been a tool in our arsenal for some years now, but we haven't used it this year, and to my knowledge, we never have ever, I don't think. So over to Adrian.
Thank you, Leader. Just slight correction, we have used it, but not for many, many years. Just two things to note, really. We have had an inspection from the Investigative Powers Commissioner's Office during the year. They made two recommendations, one that we needed to update our policy statement. This is set out in the middle of page 206, and the policy statement that you're being asked to approve tonight does reflect the amendments that were recommended by the inspector, and he also recommended that we should make sure we train relevant staff. What had happened was our Head of Customer Experience is designated as an authorising officer, but we haven't checked whether she'd been trained or not, and she hadn't, but I can now assure you all that she has been trained. So should she ever be called on to authorise a RIPA, she now knows what she has to do. And as per every other year, we're asking you to delegate the ongoing monitoring during the year to the Audit Committee, and they receive a quarterly report telling them we haven't done any RIPAs, basically. Happy to answer any questions, Leader.
Has anyone got any questions? No. When was the when was the last time it was used?
It must be 10 years ago, Leader, and I can't remember the details, to be honest.
We're being a bit naughty. Okay. Thank you very much for that. So, any other questions? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Councillor Poland to summarise and move the recommendations.
Thank you, Leader. I move recommendations 1 to 3 on page 203, for reasons 1 to 3, also on page 203.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Oh, seconder, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Harper-Davis, can I ask you to second? Apologies.
This is my moment, my Valentine moment. I'd like to second that, Leader. Thank you. Sure.
I think it was a premature resolution there, I think. So can I see all of those in favour? That's it. Thank you. That's all of those in favour. Thank you very much and good night.